The Israel Report with Rolly Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolly Marks, how are you?
Howard Feldman, good, and you?
Excellent, thank you very, very much. Lots to talk about. The one thing that has just been completely perplexing me is Abbas's speech. We spoke a little bit earlier to Honest Reporting in Jerusalem. We spoke to Daniel Pomerantz and looked into it a little bit further. But gosh, Rolene, the guy lost his mind.
I think he lost his mind. He threw his toys and his marbles are rolling down the hill somewhere. But really, in all seriousness, Howard, as we said yesterday, this is the speech that has torpedoed any kind of peace process. In fact, it was an indictment by Abbas against the state of Israel. He used terminology such as, or that really referred back to his thesis where he denied the Holocaust by making statements like, Israel is a colonial project. It is nothing but the Europeans trying to expand their colonial interests by settling Jews in the Middle East. It has nothing to do with Judaism. So he's very careful, like some others we know, to not draw a line between Israel, the state of Israel, and Jews. And that's almost a delegitimization in its own right. It's like it's saying that Israel is not the homeland of the Jews. Israel is a colonial entity that has got nothing to do with Jews or Jewish values. That is, on one hand, to try and put a band-aid on his rampant anti-Semitism, and that is, on the other hand, pure delegitimization.
Well, what he also said was that Israel forced all of the Yemenite, 48,000 Yemenite Jews, to flee to Israel. I mean, what he doesn't mention is that 850,000 Jews were expelled from those areas the minute that Israel became a state. So he conflated history. He made up quotes. It was really one of the most appalling rants, and he did it for 2 hours. I mean, that's just the worst part about the whole thing.
And not once in those 2 hours did he accept responsibility or accountability for any failings on his part, any failings of his administration. And this from the man who is serving the 13th year of his 4-year term.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the suggestions was that this is almost his valedictory address. This is him bowing out. What do you think about that?
I've also heard murmurings that this is his valedictory address, but I think, like other leaders, I don't think that Abbas is going to budge unless he is absolutely forced to do so.
Yeah, I tend to agree. We certainly haven't seen any signs. I mean, he has threatened to resign on numerous occasions. He has threatened to move or walk away from a peace process that he's already walked away from. He has threatened to not recognize Israel, not that he already has, not that he does in earnest. So he's just not somebody that can be trusted the minute he opens his mouth, and even if he doesn't.
Absolutely, and we've seen that playing out across Palestinian media. If you look at Palestinian Media Watch, you can see some of the comments that are making their way across various media streams in the Palestinian territories, backing up what Abbas has had to say.
Very, very frightening indeed. Palestinian leaders vote to suspend recognition and security cooperation with Israel.
Well, I think this is all in line with what we spoke about last week. Is the Palestinian Authority, or rather the PLO, going to unilaterally declare themselves a state under occupation? And while we're speaking about Abbas and Abbas's address, I think what we need to also emphasize is the fact that the Israeli ambassador to the United Nations, Danny Danon, has appealed to the Secretary General and the United Nations to roundly condemn Abbas's speech as hateful and racist. We heard a lot of condemnation for President Trump's comments last week. I'm not going to say the word that he used because this is family radio. Suffice to say that he almost referred to most of the world, and certainly to parts of Africa, as third world countries. I think that's about as euphemistically as I can manage. But we heard round condemnation condemnation. He's racist, he's this, he's that. There's been huge media fallout. Incidentally, and just a little dig, when Obama called Prime Minister Netanyahu a chicken turd, or when a French ambassador referred to Israel as that turdy little country, we didn't see this amount of condemnation on social media or in the mainstream media.
I'm not sure. We saw any condemnation, certainly in across the media in the whole world. I don't think that that story when Obama said that he can't trust Netanyahu and his beep, 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 I don't think, aside from the Jewish press or aside from Israeli interest press, I don't think anyone even covered that story.
I have to agree with you there. I think that it barely registered a blip in media coverage. But here we have this statement by Trump. And I must say, I do take offense because I am originally from one of those alleged turdy little countries. However, again, it goes to show the double standard of the United Nations that when it comes to the state of Israel or Israel's leaders, anything goes. But when it comes to leaders of other countries, then they are roundly condemned as racists.
Well, what I'm interested in, and I'd love to hear from our listeners on 34519 or 0618951019, are you offended by Donald Trump's statement? I mean, I know I've seen a lot of people, Raleen, you included, who really took umbrage at it. I don't know why I'm not moved by it. I don't know why it hasn't really, it's not something I have taken particularly seriously. And I'd love to know from our listeners, just do a very quick poll, were people offended by what Donald Trump had to say? Or do you just sort of shrug it off, which is kind of what I did. I'm not sure that's right either. Perhaps I should be, but I really would love to hear from our listeners. Soldiers attacked by Ahed Tamimi's testimony has now been made public. Tell us about this.
Yes, and for the first time, we've finally been able to hear testimony from the two soldiers that were hit and slapped and kicked and bitten by Ahed Tamimi, who is now in prison, 17-year-old Ahed Tamimi, who's getting her fair share of coverage around the world for her behavior. Incidentally, those who've incited or promoted this behavior are not getting that much coverage, but she is. It must be the blonde curl. And the beseeching eyes. Green eyes. Mm. Yes, so we have heard from the two soldiers. Their testimony has been made public, and they have explained the situation on the ground at the time, the environment that led to these attacks, why they didn't arrest her on site, and the kind of atmosphere they face when they go into these kinds of riots. And they said that, you know, they did not because they have been asked why they did not arrest her on site, and they explained, you know, first of all, there were two other riots. If we had arrested her, it would have incited another riot, and also we were outnumbered, and the situation wouldn't have ended very, very well for us. And we've seen from past occasions what has happened to RDF soldiers. We had the very, very famous incident of two RDF soldiers who were lynched some years ago, having taken a wrong turn. So it's a very, very precarious environment they enter into. I don't think, and this is for the armchair critics out there, that you can criticize the RDF until you've been in a situation like this when you have to make split-second decisions. And many of us think that the way these soldiers conducted themselves was nothing less than exemplary.
Interesting. A couple of SMSs. Lucan saying, I'm not offended at all. M saying, Howard, would you be moved if Trump called Israel one of those countries? Rakhadi says, Howard, I think you should also ask whether Trump's observation is true or not. Second question should be, which euphemism should he have used? Yeah, you know what? I think every country is that and every country isn't that. That's, I guess, why I didn't, I think every country has parts of it that are terrible, and every country has parts that are wonderful, and even if the country's government isn't, maybe the people are. So I don't know. Would I have been offended if he called Israel that? Probably not, but I don't know. It's very, very hard to say if I have to be honest with myself. I don't really know. But the point is he didn't. But I do identify very, very strongly as being a South African, and I am very proud in many ways of being South African. But that said, I'm still not, wasn't particularly offended by that at all. Martin Luther King Jr., honoring a great Zionist. Of course, this is also, there's many, many in the media working very, very hard to make sure that we don't remember the support of Reverend Martin Luther King Jr. for Israel.
Well, it was Martin Luther King, the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who was born on the 16th of January, and this is why we remember him on this day, who said that when they criticize Zionists, they mean Jews, and to be anti-Zionist is nothing less than anti-Semitic. And he warned some nearly 50 years ago that one day anti-Semitism would masquerade itself as anti-Zionism. Now, what many people would like to kind of clean away from history is the fact that Jews played a significant role in the civil rights movement in the United States and marched beside the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, and he was a firm supporter of Israel. He was one of the greatest supporters of Zionism. He spoke about the state of Israel being a great bastion of democracy, of freedom, of its right to exist, and celebrated Zionism, saying that it was nothing more than the yearning of the Jewish people to return to their ancient homeland. And we've seen this kind of almost co-opting of history again and again. We've seen it with the great Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, who we honor today, and I know he was honored this past weekend in the United States, and also with our very, very own great civil rights leader, Nelson Mandela. You know, very often we hear BDS and their detractors speaking about the fact that he said that if we won't be free until the Palestinians are free, but what they don't mention is the other side of that quote, where he speaks about Israel's right to exist within safe and secure borders.
Actually, very interesting on that subject, Rolina. I actually got a call from one of my sons living in Israel, and he said to me, "Dad, I read a very, very disturbing quote from Nelson Mandela. Did he hate Israel?" And I said, "No, he didn't. You've got to be very, very careful with some of the things that you're reading, because people, it's there's almost a struggle for Nelson Mandela's memory." And Nelson Mandela was very supportive of a secure Israel, and of course, he was supportive of the Palestinian cause. So are we. I believe very, very strongly in a two-state solution, provided people can live side by side in peace and respect each other's rights. So that's very, very important. And what I always say to people, as long as the other sides can answer the same question, that yes, I do respect you and I do respect your right to exist and I do respect your right to live in peace, well, then there's something to talk about. If you can't answer those questions, then there's a bit of a problem.
And while we're talking about great men who are civil rights leaders, I'm going to end with a quote from a great woman who said that what she knows for sure is that our truth is the most powerful tool that we have. And while we're speaking about these quotes and about Zionism, I really urge our listeners out there, it's time to take our narrative back. It's time to not allow the great words of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King, of Nelson Mandela, of those who have been longtime supporters of Zionism and the State of Israel and the Jewish people's right to statehood. Do not allow those who would seek to delegitimize Israel or call into question her right to exist as a sovereign country, or our right as Jews to organize ourselves politically and have a state. It's time to take our narrative back and make sure that their words of support for us do not diminish into history.
Absolutely fantastic. And there we leave it. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report. We'll be chatting to her